Howdy, howdy, howdy. Every day is a good day with Jesus. I'm telling you, there's so much going on right now in my life with my new book getting produced, Light 'Em Up, new social media outreach, and that's what we're into with Light of Christ, a time of evangelism for all of us. Outreach, outreach, outreach. And I'm telling you, I couldn't do anything successfully without doing what I'm going to teach here today. This is the key to really getting things done right from a Kingdom of God perspective. So, I will start out with this simple thought. Don't believe everything you think. Yep, you heard me right. Do not believe everything you think. Every so often, Jesus has to kind of nudge me, get my attention, and remind me that I am not thinking according to the truth, and I have let myself fall back in negative thought patterns or a lack of self-love or appreciation for what God's given me. And these are all stinking thinking. And I have to put that off and put on words of truth. And I'm really working hard, I mean like an athlete, to remind myself to push pause and just stop and think and ask Jesus throughout the day, because I'm in a position where I'm making lots of decisions all the time now. My life is very busy, and I really don't have time to mess up, because when I don't check in with the Lord, I often end up digging a large hole, which I fall into. Waste time, waste money, waste my energy. When Jesus could be directing me for all of my steps to hit the market, to hit the target. So, Jesus said in John 16 that when the Spirit of truth comes, it will guide you into all truth. That's our relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's our God connection. That's our umbilical cord to heaven, where we have a hotline to Jesus Christ and to God the Father. And Jesus wants you to succeed more than you want to succeed. And Jesus was so great at teaching with word pictures. He used a lot of metaphors and images when he taught. And one of the most beautiful ones is in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, where Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are my branches." He's the vine, we're his branches, which means the same life flows through both of us. The life of Jesus Christ now flows through your spirit man, the new man that's within you. That gives you the ability to be a partaker of the divine nature. My goodness gracious. And in John 15, verse 4, this sentence is just so, should be a bumper sticker. Remain in me as like I remain in you. Well, how much does Jesus remain in you? All the time. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus isn't going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. We are the ones that have to be consciously aware of the continual presence of the Lord of glory coursing through our physical body, talking to us, giving us information whenever we need it, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And he says in verse 5, "I am the vine, the source. You're the branches. You're my fruit. And I want you to produce fruit. I'm the vine. You're the branches. And if you remain in me and I in you, you're going to bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing." There's a time coming at the great white throne when, yes, we're going to paradise and everything will be hunky-dunky. But before that, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of what we did in this one life. Did we live it just full of ourselves, of me, me, me? Or did we really understand that we were put on this earth to share love, kindness, truth, help with everybody we run into, whether we know them or not? to be the light. And I love this comparison because if it's remain in me as I remain in you, that's a constant. There used to be people that talked about playing the Jesus game, and they would say they were playing this game where every 60 seconds they wanted to think the name Jesus. Well, that's a little bit much for me because, you know, you got to get some stuff done at some point. But, you know, the thought about thinking of him all throughout the day, every few minutes, just a course correction. Because in verse 6, Jesus says, remember, we're the branch. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's just a different translation of verse 6. Apart from him, we can do what? Nothing. Well, yeah, we can do something. We can mess up. We can waste time. We can miss the mark. But with him, you know, Jesus, he's got the target. He wants us to hit the bullseye more than we hit outside of the board because he wants us to be more than a conqueror in everything. He wants for everything your hand touches to turn to good. Think of that. And to believe in yourself that way, to think, wow, Peg, everything your hand touches turns to good. And I can vouch from personal experience, that is the honest to goodness truth. I can tell the times when I'm in sync with Jesus. I can tell the times when I'm out in left field, listening to my own stupidity. And the times I'm with Jesus, I mean, things click, they're on fire, they work, they hum, they come together. Not always in my timing, but if I stick to it, they will come together, and I will be more than a conqueror through all things through Christ. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I stepped into a mess only to realize I just didn't consult the one who knows everything. I don't know the future. God does. Jesus, of course, is much more experienced in life itself than I am because he did it perfectly. And I was thinking when I read this verse about when I lived in California, and I used to spend a lot of time in Napa Valley just because it was beautiful. You drive through these bucolic roads, and here were vineyards and wineries all over the place. And I mean, I can't even tell you the feeling of life and peace you'd get when you drive through that region. And the thing is, think about this. If you have a bunch of oranges, you call it an orange orchard. Or apples, you call it an apple orchard. But when you have a bunch of grapes, you call it a vineyard. Because what's important is the vine. The water that the vine gets, the minerals in the land that the vines are planted in. That's why grapes have different tastes when they're planted in the northern part of France or Napa Valley or different parts of the world. It's the vine that's everything. And here's a truth bomb, my friend, that goes right along with John 15. Do you know what the most neglected truth being taught, the most neglected truth being taught in Christianity today is? I know I'm coming up with a lot of answers right now, but I'll tell you, it's our identification with Christ, which is an act that we perform in our heart, in our mind. You don't change colors. You don't grow taller. There's just times you're believing, I am who the Word of God says I am. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. Therefore, I do. That is when you're humming. That's when you're kicking on all five cylinders, or six if your car has that. Or I guess my Volvo has four, but you get the memo. He says in verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you're like the branch that's thrown away and withers. And, you know, they're just tossed into the fire. There's no usefulness really coming out of your life except for a momentary buzz on your own part. But if you remain in me and my words, I would like to point out that isn't the word logos. That's not just the written word. That's the rhema, which means we're staying in touch with Jesus in real time. It's that moment-by-moment information of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, that you get from heaven right now in your current situation. As a counselor, I've had to master this because I cannot get in my own way. I don't know what's in their heart. Only Jesus does. That's why he's actually the counselor, and prayerfully, he's the teacher of what I'm sharing with you today. This is not my idea. This is his idea. And if my words, if you're calling on me and listening to me throughout the day, because remember the good shepherd? The sheep know me, they hear my voice, and they obey. That's a way of life. People, it's not a suggestion, it's a way of life. And ask whatsoever you will, and it's going to be done with you. Ask according to what? The rhema. Trust me, if Jesus gives you a vision and you know it's from Jesus, he will bring it to pass. I have 52 years of empirical evidence that that phrase is absolute bedrock truth. And verse 8, why do we have this relationship? This is to my Father's glory. We point to God. It's not us, it's God. That you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I want you to keep bringing your mind back. This is one of the very last things Jesus taught right before his death, right before he was captured. John 13 through 17. A lot of people I know kind of ho-hum through those verses, but I'm telling you, John 13 through 17 is everything you need to know to walk by the Spirit. Everything you need to know to walk by the Spirit is in those chapters. Everything. So trust me, I have given many, many months and possibly years out of my life studying those chapters. Huge. And all of those chapters point back to one thing, our identification in Christ. Just think about that. Chapter 13 starts with love. Love one another. Jesus washes their feet. 14 is the comforter, the Spirit that moved inside that's going to bring all things to your mind, whatever you need to know in that situation, call the comforter. 15 is the vine and the branches. 17 is that great prayer that we're going to be one as God and Christ are one. The vine is the source of every good and godly thing that takes place in your life. It doesn't come from your flesh. It comes from your Spirit of Christ in you. And when we lose sight of that, our identity in Christ, we're not remaining in the vine. It's when we're remembering our identity in Christ that we are living in the vine. And I was saying to Peg this morning, Peg, I've got a lot of plates in the air right now, you know, twirling them on a stick. High in the air, I got a lot of plates. I got a lot on my plates right now. And, you know, I just said, Peg, quit trying to figure everything out. Rely on the Good Shepherd. That's when I have peace. That's when I do things in a godly fashion, in a godly time, and it all works in my favor. So let's take a look at the vine, okay? When he lived here in his physical body on earth for 33 years or whatever. There's debate over that, but he was here for a while. What did he do? He sit around and waste his time? Did he just, you know, get lost in rabbit holes and not know what to do next? No, what did he do? Jesus said, I only do those things the Father shows me. And, you know, people crack me up because they say, well, does that mean I can't go out and listen to music or have fun or have a vacation? Of course you can. That's called times of refreshing. That's good stuff. But is Jesus going to tell you to go out and shoot heroin? No. Is he going to tell you to steal? No. Is he going to tell you to gossip? No. Is he going to tell you to hurt somebody's feelings? No. Jesus is going to fill you with every good thing. And just a couple things to look at. We're going to kind of cruise through here. Just to throw some stuff out there. How did Jesus spend a typical day? One thing, he laughed a lot. He was a happy person. Kids wanted to sit on his lap. And if you know one thing about kids, they've got a really good personality radar. When people are nasty, kids don't want to hang around them. When people are loving, kids are going to cling to you, just like your dog. You know, my dog doesn't like mean people. She's not going to hurt them, but she doesn't like them. You know who Izzy loves? People with a happy countenance, people that are safe. But Jesus would heal the leper with a touch and a word. The woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years, she was breaking all these Hebrew laws. She was not even supposed to let somebody touch her when she was bleeding. She was going against the Talmud right there. And he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Jesus walked up to a fig tree that had leaves but no fruit. Boy, that's when people are apart from the vine. They had leaves but no fruit. And he talked to the tree, for goodness sake. And the next morning it was dead backwards because it died from the roots up. That's not how trees normally die. And Jesus went in John 11 and raised Lazarus. There are two people. There are two words that are used a lot in the Gospels for love. One is phileo, which is brotherly love, which are people you choose to hang out with because they really bring something to your life. They help you rejuvenate. The other one is agape, which is people you love, but you love them with the love of God. They're not necessarily the people you want in your inner circle because they don't bring that kind of refreshing to your soul. Jesus agape'd everybody, but he phileo'd, which meant these were people that really refreshed him and his soul. These were people that he was friends with on a human level. One was John and one was Lazarus. When we read that Jesus heard that Lazarus was dead, you know, if one of my best friends died, I probably would fall apart like a cheap $2 suitcase and I'd had every right to. It would be called grief. But Jesus obviously went to the Father and said, "How's this going to work out? Is he gone? Because I have raised someone from the dead. I'm not going to get into that. But you can text me or ask or look at Facebook or read my book, I Saw the Light." And it's an amazing, talk about a feeling that lights you up on the inside. That'll do it. So when he heard that Lazarus was dead, he didn't jump to conclusions. He had a habit of going to the Father, and the Father said, "This is going to be for my glory. He's not going to remain dead. You're going to raise him from the dead, and it's going to be for my glory." So 4 days later, after he gets this news, Jesus is standing in front of a tomb that has the stone rolled over it, and the tomb is closed because Lazarus had already begun to decompose. Corpses stink after a few days. They smell really, really bad. It kind of gags you. And Mary and Martha, when he said, "Move the stone," they're like, "Wait, Lord, don't do that. You know, he smells already." And Jesus just said something real simple. "Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth." He wept. He wept because his heart broke for how Mary and Martha were feeling. But he didn't have to yell. He didn't have to scream. He didn't have to do all kind of antics to make this happen, like a lot of pastors think they've got to get all physical about stuff. And I don't know. All he did was say, "Lazarus, come forth." But he said it with a loud voice. Why? So everybody could hear it. There was a big crowd around him. And what happened? Lazarus came forth, bound in grave clothes. And the first thing Jesus said is, "Take those crazy clothes off of him. Let's take him in here and get him cleaned up, get him something to eat." See, Jesus' faith, the miraculous, followed him so freely because he stayed connected to the Father. And now Jesus is the mediator between God and man. And therefore, when we stay connected to Jesus, we're automatically connected to God the Father. God is the life source of everything. And that's why Jesus could say it with authority. In John 14:12, Jesus said, "To you and me, the branches, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do." We have got to get the church back to a first century church mentality that we were put on this earth to be a witness for God, and the greatest witness God has is signs, miracles, and wonders. They did not go out with the apostles, my friends. They did just the opposite. They came in with the apostles. And because Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and earth in Matthew 28:18, and since Jesus has been given authority in all heaven and earth, When we are locked in with Jesus, what do we have authority over? All heaven and earth. Many of the disciples in the book of Acts took that truth at face value. Acts is like the Old Testament. It's filled, overflowing with signs, miracles, and wonders because they took those teachings that are now recorded in John 13 through 17 to heart. And they lived connected to the vine. I just want to look at one example in the book of Acts. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 36. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. In the town of Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was always doing good works and acts of charity, especially making clothes for widows and the poor. Hope you can hear me over the people working on my brand new highway in the backyard. If not, just stay your mind on my voice. We'll get through this. So, Tabitha, she became so sick she died, and the believers washed her body and laid her in an upper room. But they heard that Peter was nearby in Lydda. Now, this place where Peter is about a 5 or 6 hour walk from Joppa. And the disciples sent two men to him with an urgent message saying, please come with us today without delay. You bet. Yeah. And Peter went with them at once. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood around him weeping and showing him the tunics and other clothing Dorcas had made while she was still with them. And here's an interesting point here. Peter sent them all out of the room and then knelt down and prayed. This is one of the first things I ever learned is if you're going to do a miracle, don't have a bunch of unbelief around. If there are people who don't believe like you do, try to get the person you're ministering to off into a safe place away from them. And Peter got the unbelief out of the room. He knelt down and prayed and turning toward the cold, dead body. Just remember this. He's kneeling there next to a corpse. And Peter said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Can you imagine how she must have felt? Can you imagine how she must have felt? He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and widows and presented her to them alive. And what was the result, people? God was glorified. God was glorified. God was glorified because the news spread throughout all Joppa and many people believed in the Lord. That is, look, there's a twofold purpose for signs, miracles, and wonders. Obviously, the number one purpose is to bless the recipient. But the tail on the dog, you know, should follow every time is God is glorified. God is glorified. God is glorified. Yeah, Peter did this because he had walked with the Master. He saw Jesus do this day and night. And I've heard people say, well, if I walk with Jesus, I would believe. No, you wouldn't, because the majority of the people that saw Jesus did not believe he was the Messiah. They did not follow him. As a matter of fact, they asked for him to be crucified. But look, people, we have the Bible. In that way, we do walk with Jesus. We have everything. It's not just a moment in time that we have to remember. We have the Bible that we can read as many times as we choose, all of the wonderful things Jesus did until they sink and soak into our heart. Until they sink and soak into our heart. That's where we want to be. Walking like Jesus. Do you know why we can identify with Christ? Do you know why we can identify with Christ? Because when he went to the cross, he didn't go alone. When he went to the cross, he did not go alone. He took your old man nature with him. He took your old man nature with him. Romans says you were crucified with Christ, and when he got up, you got up with him. That's your new identity. The same power from on high flows through a yielded disciple. The same faith Peter tapped into, the vine and the branch, flowed into Dorcas, Tabitha, a dead body through Peter. That's where you and I are today. And you know what? Jesus didn't die on the cross for a bunch of losers. Jesus died on the cross because he believes in you. And you know why he believes in you? Because his Father believes in you. God told his Son, you're going to have a bunch of people who are going to turn the world right side up because of what you're doing here today, Son. And that is why in this vine and the branches metaphor, the Christian life is not you trying harder, pressing on the door, you know, with a jackhammer. It's not you trying harder to live for Christ. It's you relaxing and letting Jesus Christ live through you to open the flow from heaven through you to represent Christ here on earth. So how does that translate into today, everyday life, when the doctor says all this bad stuff, like he told me I had cancer that was the worst melanoma you can have, and they were probably going to sew me up, open me up, and close me up. You don't let that stick in your head. The first thing I did was go to Jesus and say, Jesus, how do I approach this? When the money's short, we look to God and say, you're my sufficiency. When our heart is broken, we go to Jesus and say, fill me up, I'm hurting. Fill me with your love, fill me with your compassion. And when something looks impossible, we just remember all things are possible to him who believes. And Jesus will say a very simple phrase to most of us. Peg, take your foot off the hose. John, take your foot off the hose. Sally, take your foot off the hose. Let me flow through you because I have all power in heaven and earth. And when your foot is off the hose and you let me flow through you, you have all power in heaven and earth. You and the vine, you're one. But the connection happens in your heart and mind. And then you speak and act from that place by hearing the shepherd's voice. That is abiding in the vine. That is how we are more than victorious in everything in life. The same Jesus who spoke to the fig tree, the same Jesus who raised Lazarus, healed the sick, has, past tense, entrusted you with the greatest power in the universe. All power in heaven and earth now belongs to you when you walk with him. That's how we thwart our enemy and how we win in every turn. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. We hold fast to our identity in Christ because that is the most important truth in all of Christianity. And when we get that right, the hose is unkinked, the connection is strong, and everything your hand touches turns to good. So, Father, I thank you for this wonderful day in the name of Jesus Christ, and that you have called us to go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil because you are with us. And, Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to once again share a truth with your people who love you from the bottom of their heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.